Praise God. I just want to pray for you now, if you don't mind. Let me just have a moment of prayer. King of kings, we just give you praise. Sweet Jesus, we thank you for this moment, Lord God. I believe so strongly that this moment was set aside before the beginning of time, Lord God, that you would meet with us, that you would speak with us, that you would speak directly to our hearts, that you would heal wounds that sometimes have gone back years, Lord God, in this very moment. I believe that someone could be struggling with a wound for decades and you can heal it in a second. And I just pray that by faith that that be this moment today. I pray in the name of Jesus for just renewed hope, for renewed hope. They said, the Bible says that hope, you can hope and hope and hope, and hope deferred makes your heart sick. But you are the great healer, Lord God. So we just pray that in this moment together, Lord God, will you speak to us? Not me, not my ideals, not my political point of views, all the things that sort of, fill our 24-hour news cycle. None of that, Lord God. May I just completely decrease, that you increase and meet with your people, including me, that you will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in this series of hope. Has everyone been loving this series of hope? It's been a fave for me actually, because when Matt said he's going to talk about hope, I thought, oh my gosh, hope is so tricky. I'm going to talk to you as I try and take my Bible out, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do both. So I'm going to put the mic down for 2 seconds.
It's stubborn. It doesn't want to come out. Let's see. I promise I read it. It's not like it's been stuck in there for like. There we go.
This series of hope has been so good for me, because I think, you know, it's just a bit, life's a bit heavy. Life's a bit heavy. And I just think that, you know, we could all do with just new hope, more hope, more hope, more hope, more hope. And so anyway, I went on holiday because I didn't get to go on holiday last year. Going on holiday is a privilege. I sound like I'm a bit of a spoiled girl. But anyway, I love a little holiday, me. And so we went on holiday, went to Malta, and it was nice. It was really nice. We went on the half term. And I'm not the best swimmer. I don't even go as far to say I can't swim. I don't know. I feel like in school where they give you that certificate to say you can swim, she gave it to me for effort and not really actually like ability. It was kind of like I spent the whole year trying. So she was like, all right, I'll give you a certificate. But David's a really good swimmer. And I hear from Liz that Josh is a good swimmer. Liz, can you swim? You can't. We're getting there. But David's a really good swimmer. So when we go on holiday, I'm always like, look, you know, Joshy's all right, but my daughter, Eliana, she's only little and she can't swim yet. And she's doing her lessons, so she's not like me when she gets a grown woman that can't swim. But I think it's always best for David to be in the pool just in case, you know, just in case. And Eliana, she's got that very bold character, you know. She's spinning around, she's jumping. They're doing all manner of tricks and stuff in the pool. And I'm just like pretending not to look, just holding my breath that, oh my gosh, what are you doing with our daughter? And there was one occasion when we were on holiday this time that David didn't want to go in the pool. So I was like, fine, I'll go with the children. But I said to Eliana, I said, look, daddy's not in the pool. So this is gentle swimming. This is like, you know, this is like a little spa, you know, you just sort of float. You don't do any of the tricks. So we got, and she was like, yes. Minute we got in the pool, she just climbed up kind of on what just looked so enormous, like this highest kind of thing. And she was kind of gearing up, ready to go, like to jump. And I'm in the pool. You know, you don't want to be one of those crazy mums, right? Shouting, you know, get down. So I'm sort of like smiling around, like, you know, get down, get down, get down. She's like, look, there's no way I'm going to get down. You can see in her eyes, she just had this almost defiant, you know, this defiance. I'm looking at, usually my eye quite works, actually. I don't need to say anything. I can look at my children and they know, like. But at this time, and I was sort of mouthing to her, Eliana, no, I can't swim. No, you know. And she looked at me with boldness. And of course she did. She just geared up herself and she jumped. I mean, I just about caught her. I was like, oh my God. She went under. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, hold on. I'm about to preach. I can't. She went under. And I just sort of like, you know, scooped her. She did a little cough. I patted her back and she was all right. And I said, don't do that. And in that moment, the Lord spoke to me so clearly. And I believe it was for us today. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I cook her meals. You know, I look after her, tuck her into bed. She just, in her heart, knew that I would catch her. She knew that I would catch her. And the Lord said to me, sometimes as we go through life, life sometimes can be so hard that we create safety nets around our hope, around our faith, because somehow, even though we may not consciously say it, subconsciously, we don't believe that the Lord will catch us. Matt's given me the assignment to continue hope to talk about Peter, and I'm in John chapter 1. But I couldn't start by saying John chapter 21. Sorry, not John chapter 1, John chapter 21. But I couldn't start by saying that he is more than able. You might go under. Just to be honest, like, that's life. I'm not going to stand here and say it's all rosy and, you know, you might go under. There's some seasons, I'm not just by myself in this morning, where I definitely feel like I've gone under. But he is more than able. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Lily of the Valley. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the Alpha and the Omega, not just on Christmas, not just on Easter. In every season, he is our everlasting Father and our Prince of Peace. And if you don't remember anything else I tell you today, remember this: he will catch you. So, John chapter 21, I'm going to read 1 to 19. Sorry, Matt, I'm not doing the whole, I hope that's not me being disobedient. But 1 to 9, it's a fair chunk. So, but I just feel it's good for me to read it so I can give you us some context as to where we are. But more importantly, where Peter is and where we meet him in this part of Scripture. Because I, and just by the grace of God, I'll get through all of this without being just a blubbering wreck. Because the Lord has spoken to me so powerfully, I think, about how he can heal our heart for hope. So I'll read it and then I'll give us some context. So John chapter 21, 1 to 19. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples were together. "I'm going fishing," Simon Peter said to them. "We're coming with you," they told him. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. Praise God, he shows up for us. I told you, every time he shows up. He stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. "Friends," Jesus called to them, "you don't have any fish, do you?" "No," they answered. "Cast a net on the right side of the boat," he told them, "and you'll find some." So they did. And they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. The disciple, the one that Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. Since they were not far from the land, about 200 yards away, the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal of fire with fish lying on it and bread. "Bring me some of the fish you just caught," Jesus told them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. "Come and have breakfast," Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Amen. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after being raised from the dead. "Yes, Lord," he said to them. When they had eaten the breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, "Do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to them. "You know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," he told them. A second time, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him. "You know that I love you." "Shepherd my sheep," he told them. He asked them a third time, "Simon, son of John, Do you love me? Peter was grieved that he had asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie and carry you where you do not want to go. He said this to indicate by which kind of death Peter would glorify God. After this, he said to them, follow me. Praise God for his beautiful word. So I just want to give just a little bit of context before Peter went fishing. The last 3 years for Peter had been, you know, wild. Like it was, you know, it was revolutionary. You know, he was a standard fisherman. He had a wife. The Bible says that, you know, his mother-in-law was healed by Jesus when he passed through. So we know that he was married. They were under Roman occupation. And this man came into his life very much actually like he did in this scene. He toiled all night. He had caught nothing. And this man came and told him to cast his net onto the other side of the road, of the sea. And he caught so much fish that he needed partners. After that, he said, I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. This man called Jesus became Peter's best friend. Everything. He turned upside down his whole home. You can imagine that conversation between Peter and his wife. Oh, actually, I'm no longer a fisherman. I'm just going to follow this man because I believe he's going to, you know, he's going to do a revelation. He's going to do a revolution and he's going to overthrow Rome. And the last 3 years, he slept with him. He ate with him. They did everything. They laughed. They cried. They did everything together. And the last few months have been nothing like Peter dreamed. Nothing. They were still under the Roman occupation. Actually, their lives were now in danger. He couldn't even, in his moment of weakness, say that he was with him. You know, he denied him not once, not twice, but three times. Everything that Peter thought his life was going to be like looked completely different in that moment. And I don't know if that speaks to anyone like alone today. You get to a season of your life and it's like, Lord, it wasn't supposed to look like this. Jesus had appeared to him. So it's like, it's wonderful. Oh my God, you're alive. I can see you. Then he appeared a second time, more so for the sake of Thomas. He said, touch my hands, feel my sides, like I'm alive. But then he was gone again. And this is in between his third appearance. And so Peter, as we meet him, is in this really tense place of theologically believing that Jesus lives, but asking the question of the heart, where is he? And as Christians, I don't think we talk about it enough, if I'm to be honest, and if I can be real, which is basically the only way I know to talk to you all. We don't talk about it enough. You know, that tense place between, yes, I'm a Christian. Theologically, I do believe that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. I believe on the third day he rose again. I believe he's coming back again. But as I look at my life circumstances, as I look at the dream of my life, as I look at maybe a marriage that's gone wrong, as I look at my children, as I look at my finances, as I look at life, as I look at the life I built with a husband that's now left me, as I look at a child that I've raised that is now no longer in Christ, as I look at a loved one that I've spent the better part of my life with, you can't help but ask the question, Jesus, where are you? Where are you? I do believe. We're not talking. This is why it's in some respects I'm talking to the believer. We believe. But we're asking, where is he? And that's where Peter was. So what did he do? He went fishing. He went fishing. He went back to what he knew. He went back to what he knew. He went back to what he knew how to do. At the very least, you know, Peter was an action kind of man, you know. He wasn't like a calm guy, kind of cut off a guy's ear once, you know. He's that kind of dude, just to give you that picture, you know. He was a doing man. The sitting and the waiting for the Jesus that he had been with physically, but now no longer with, was just difficult for him. So he had to do something. So he went back to doing what he knew how to do. But still, when he did that, he caught nothing. My first point today about hope is hope. Your posture must be forward facing. Some of us today, you're struggling with hope because your posture is looking backwards. Your posture is what went wrong. Your posture is what could have been. Your posture is, you're rehearsing in your mind all the things that didn't quite go to plan. You're rehearsing in your mind all of the things that you did wrong. But the posture of hope is to press towards the mark, as Paul said. He said, look, what did he say? He said, I press towards the mark, forgetting those things behind me that I may claim, paraphrasing, the high price in Christ Jesus. What's your heart's posture today? It could be prayer, and this is, you know, much of this is prayer points, really, because I'm not standing up here to say that I get this. But we must be able to surrender his dream, surrender our dream to pick up his. And it's not easy, but it's daily bread. It's the manna for today. But even when you're collecting the daily bread, you're moving forward. You see, Peter was in a place, even emotionally, where he had denied him. Not once, not twice, not three, but three times. So much so that when Jesus did come back, this first resurrection, and he said to Mary Magdalene, he said, gather all the disciples. The scripture says, I don't have time to turn to it now, but the scripture says, gather all the disciples. And Jesus says, and Peter too. Why does he say, and Peter too? He said, and Peter too, because he knew that Peter had beaten himself up. Peter was somewhere beating himself up because he had denied him three times. So he said, gather Peter too. It's one thing where hope, your lack of hope, comes from the disappointment of life circumstances that are beyond your control. And it's another thing where your lack of hope comes from what you feel like are your own mistakes. What you feel like are your own shortfalls. And you rehearse that. You beat yourself up on that. And you go back fishing. I don't know what your fishing is today, but you go back to it. And you still catch nothing. But there is another option. The other option is to turn your face towards Jesus and behold his glorious face. Turn your face towards Jesus and behold his glorious face. What's so interesting is, so that's my first point today, is what's your posture? Hope looks forward. What's your posture? It's so funny because Jesus asked him the question, do you love me? How many times did he ask him? Three times. That's our Lord. He restores. I believe so. I mean, there's nothing. This is me. There's nothing. I believe this is what the Lord said to me. There's nothing in scripture to back this up. But I believe he asked those three times as a response to every single time that Simon Peter denied him. Those three times that he denied him, he counteracted that and said, do you love me? Forget everyone else. You are under pressure. You're under pressure. But now it's just me and you. Do you love me? He's like, yes. I said, yeah. Even the Bible says the third time he was grieved. But if you see, I believe that for every mistake, there is hope. We have the best faith in the world, friends, because the Bible says he makes all things new. Every mistake, he makes it new. He is the greatest form of restoration that we can ever have. And so the worst thing that has ever happened to Simon Peter was that denial. And he came back and he stood on the shore. He said, you caught anything? And then he said, bring the fish. By the time he had already brought the fish, he was already cooking. If you go back to the text, the fish was already frying. He didn't need their fish. He doesn't need what we bring him. But he chooses to partner with us because that's the greatest relationship of our Heavenly Father, is that he condescends himself that he may relate with us. So that, and then he asked him not once, not twice, but three times. And so Simon Peter may not have been like, oh man, I can deny three times, but I can also claim you three times. I can say no in the circumstances where I'm under pressure. I can get it wrong, but I can also at the end of the day go on my knees and say, Father, I need you. Isn't that the wonderful thing? And it moves me on to my second point. My second point is, hope looks for the miracle in the mundane. Listen, guys, let's be honest. Much of our life is boring. Okay, let me talk for myself. Much of my life is boring. I do school runs, do the clubs, club runs, sit on the train, go to work, talk to people, do small talk. Don't really like small talk, but I've got to do it because I've got to pay the bills. You know, like there's nothing, I don't know. You can look on the news and see people that probably have much more glamorous lives than me, you know. You can't. There's nowhere to run in my house because they will find you. Mummy. You know, it can be difficult to find the miracle in those moments. But actually, it's as you find the miracle in the mundane that you get to build your hope. Hope is built in the ordinary. What are they doing? They're literally eating breakfast. They couldn't be doing something less boring. Fish and bread. It wasn't even anything like snazzy as well. It wasn't even like they were, I don't know. It's not like they were having like a posh breakfast. It was just by the sea, bit of fish, bit of bread, but, you know, simple. But he was having it with the regenerated king. That's our lives, folks. Like, that's our lives, guys. We do the ordinary carrying the regenerated king. We do the school run carrying the regenerated king. I stand and talk to the mums, but yet the King of Kings resides within me. There's a consciousness. Hope is to have that consciousness that everything you do, whether you're doing your spreadsheet for your budget for the month, you carry the king. So the scripture says they had this ordinary, this really weird thing. They were like, do I ask him? Do I ask? Because this is not the Jesus I knew, but I know it's the Jesus that lives. Do I ask him? No, I'm just going to eat. I picture this in my mind to be the most awkward breakfast of all times initially. Because it's like, I'm not going to say, Lord, Lord, you're not. He didn't come out and say, I'm Jesus. But somehow their spirits knew. Look for your hope in your everyday. Culture has hyped us up to that hope must be these big things. But actually, it is his daily bread. It's the miracle in the ordinary, the miracle in the mundane. It's as you do that you build your faith. It's as you do that you build your faith. The Bible talks about that faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. So if day by day, you're not looking like, oh my gosh. You know, when I first had, particularly Joshua, my first child, I got on everyone's nerves because I'd be like, oh my God, see the smile. He smiled, I'm sure he smiled. He was like hours old. Be like, you know, they'd be like, no, they don't smile. I don't think they smile. Definitely a smile. Definitely a smile. Definitely a smile. You know, oh, every little, oh, he moved his toes. He's supposed to be moving his toes. I say, babe, get the nurse. He's just moved his toes. I don't know if he's supposed to be moving his toes yet. Get the nurse. David, but no, I think it's fine. It's fine. Oh my gosh, I've got Eliana. I'll never forget. A few hours old, she just kind of lifted her neck a little bit. There we go. Look at God. It's a miracle baby. It's a prodigy. I can see Olympics now. I can see every tiny little thing they did was a miracle to me. Now, oh yeah, that's cute. You know, the first painting they bring home from school, you're like, how did you do that? Wow, babe. This is lovely. You stick it on the fridge. The 100th one, that's going straight in the bin, you know. It's like, I haven't got any time to be collecting these kind of like, you see them walking out of the class with these big monstrosities. It's like, you're like, what am I going to do with that? But sometimes that's how we treat God, right? When we first came to Christ, do you remember that? When you had that dream of Jesus, not your dream, your Jesus was enough. He was your reward. Everything he did, he was like, you could heal me for that? I can forgive that person for that when I thought I would forever hate them and want them to die? And now it's just, we just move it to the side. But actually your hope is found in those things. A prayer I've prayed and continue to pray, and I pray over us to you today. It's a personal prayer. I say, Lord, may I never lose your wonder. May I never lose your wonder, the wonder of being woken up. The wonder of being woken up. A mentor of mine says, you try and put an alarm clock next to a dead person, it doesn't work. We sang, it's your breath in our lungs, so I pour out my praise. He wakes you up every single day and then resides in you. It is a miracle. He is your reward. Clean, grab, take all of your hope from that. Why take it from life circumstances that aren't going as you want? Why turn your face that way when you can turn your face towards Jesus? So I choose some days, a bit like Eliana when she was like her face, she was gonna jump. I choose, I resolve in my spirit that in this circumstance, I choose joy. In this circumstance, I choose Jesus. I choose you. I'm not in denial. It's not wishful thinking. I'm completely cognizant of what the circumstance is. I'm completely cognizant of it. But I choose the Lord. If I'm going to fish, I'm going to fish with Jesus. If I'm going to parent, I'm going to parent with Jesus. If I'm going to build a business, I'm going to build the business with Jesus. If not, I catch nothing. The last thing that I want to sort of say, my point three for this is hope is fueled by purpose. He didn't just ask him three times, do you love me? After he said yes, he said, well, feed my lamb. Shepherd my sheep. You know, there's so much of hope that is connected to purpose. What's the question he's asking you today? If he said to you today, Toby, do you love me? And I said, yes. What would he tell me to do? Because he's got the same question that he asked you, followed by a command. And that command is your purpose for being here. There's that saying of that where there is hope, where there is life, there is hope. Because you've been woken up. He wants you to do something. If you look at Simon Peter, he went from loving Jesus, denying Jesus, coming back to Jesus. And then in that in-between of, well, now Jesus is in me, but I'm mourning the Jesus that was beside me. And then he went on. This is John chapter 21. Structurally in scripture, this is the last chapter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything moving forward is us. It's the kingdom of God. It's the legacy of Jesus Christ. Straight after this chapter, we have the Acts of the Apostles. Simon Peter went from, what do I do with my life? This was the dream. It wasn't supposed to be like this. He went from that posture to Acts, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Same Peter. In a matter of a few chapters, I'm going fishing. I've caught nothing. My life's over. I've got to go back to my wife and tell her I've caught nothing. I'm a disappointment to everyone. And then he has breakfast with the king. And he changes everything. One, he changed his posture to look forward. Two, he said, look, I'm going to look for the miracle in the mundane. Three, I'm going to accept the challenge of remaining till he comes. And I'm going to accept that. And purpose is going to fuel me forward. I look at Peter, I'm like, wow, how are you able to? Paul, I know it's not Paul's gig today, it's Peter's, but just if I could say something about Paul for a moment. He didn't even see Jesus. He didn't get breakfast with the king. He never got this. He never even got the fish and the bread. He got an encounter on Damascus. Okay, good, but he's like us, we've all had our different forms of encounters. And it was enough for him to say, hold on, Jesus, you are my reward. Towards the end of last year, my business, I did a podcast. It's not a plug at all, I promise. It sounds like a plug. It's going to sound pluggy, but I promise it's not a plug. It's on Audible. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I did a podcast with a really big celebrity. It was a big get for me. It's a small business I own. You know, it was a big get. And at the end of it, the Audible did put all their money behind it. And it was a big deal. I was like, wow, and a friend of mine was in Waterloo in London and massive billboard of the project that I did. She took a picture of it. She said, Tobes, look at this. It's everywhere I've gone. I've seen your billboard. You know, this is amazing. I sat down and then David turned to me. He was like, how do you feel? And it's not to say that I wasn't happy for it. As I said, I said, you know, he is my reward. It might sound weird, but if you take it all away, I still got Jesus. If you give it all to me, I still got Jesus. And that is the fact that he is our living hope. He said to Peter, it moves on from Peter being the hope beside you to the hope in you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not for me to say that your life will be great or my life will be great. In fact, the last thing he does when I finish at verse 19 is predict his death. It's not sounding very hopeful, do you know what I mean? He literally tells him how he will die. And it is how Simon Peter dies. Because when they want to crucify Simon Peter, when they go to crucify Simon Peter, he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same way as my Lord. Crucify me upside down. And so that is how Simon Peter died. But it was predicted here. Jesus wasn't saying to him, your life's going to be wonderful from now on. Your life's going to be great. All those big houses, mortgage-free, holidays that I love. Where do you want to go? Maldives? You know, it wasn't that kind of, you know, that American Oprah kind of, you know, capitalism. You get a car, you get a car, everyone gets a car, you know, Father Christmas. Like, no, he said, this is how you will die. It's like, oh, you know, you kind of want to go back to breakfast, God. Like, let's not go. The conversation was starting so well. Now it's getting a little dark, you know. No one wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. But the reason why Peter can embrace it so much is because the finished work of the cross is our truth. Everything you need for life and godliness, your peace that you're searching for, it's in him. That peace that you're going to everyone for, it's in him. My mum and I, we went, and I'm finishing. My mum and I, we had to go and visit a close, close family member on Friday who sadly passed away. He was a good friend of my mum. He was more of an uncle in the church that I grew up in. I know his children, a couple of years in their 30s, a couple of years below me. And this man went to work normal, like said goodbye to his mum, said goodbye to his wife, kissed his wife, blah, blah, blah. Even called her a bit later on, said, oh, the trains were so messed up, I got into work late. And later on, he said, I'll be home a bit late because I'm going to go to church. I've got a Bible study on, so I'll be home a bit late. And at 5 o'clock that evening, it was the police at her door. He was a picture of health, but he had a cardiac arrest and he passed away. I mean, tragic, right? So I said to my mum, oh, I've got to go and see the family. And I sat down with his daughter. She's in her 30s, a couple of years below me. And you could see just pain in someone's eyes. You know, just so much pain. And you, in those circumstances, I think, Lord, what do you want me to say? You know, what do you say? It's just shocking. And she said to me, Toby, so God can do this. I didn't know what to say. But then I thought, actually, I do know what to say. It's the same thing I'm saying to you today. I said, the songs are lovely. I love a good song. I love a good worship song. I love a Sunday service. I love all the programs and stuff that we put together. But really, it's in those dark moments where we meet Jesus, those dark moments where that wonderful family is right now, those seasons where our faith comes alive. He lives. He is alive. Death, where is your sting? He has everything you need. And so he will tell you to go and catch it. And then he will tell you, bring it to me so we can partner together. Bring your natural. I've got the supernatural. And let's partner. If you don't have a plan, I would love to pray for you. If God hasn't asked you to do something, I would love to pray for you. If you had a dream and you're struggling with that dream, I would love to pray for you. Surrender that dream for the new dream of Jesus. You know, I'm a planner like everyone else. I love a good little, like, I love it. But when you've finished it, you've got to submit it. And if he takes you on a detour, then you've got to go on the detour. It was so funny because as I was sitting down there, I saw Pastor Nicola and Keith and Toby come up to check this thing. And I thought, oh God, is it wobbly? You know, I thought, oh, can I jump? Oh, you know, how sturdy is this thing? Will this thing support me? And then I thought, what's the worst that could happen? I was just sitting there, I should have been worshipping. I'm sorry, this is the confession. But I thought, what's the worst that could happen when I go up and preach? All thing breaks, break my legs or something, I don't know. Like, this is where my mind works. You know, like, oh God, they call the ambulance services done. This is terrible, right? And then I remembered what God said to me about Eliana. I don't know how sturdy this thing is, but we do know how sturdy Christ is. Build your life on the solid rock of Jesus, because he is your hope and he lives in you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus said it's impossible to please him without faith. For if anyone must come to him, they must first believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You cannot do it without hope. And I know there's people in this room that have hoped for a long time. So I too have hoped for a long time. I know there are people in this room that hope is deferred and it's made the heart sick. And I know that life has been cruel. I know that is the case. But I can also tell you that if you go to him and believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Change your posture, look forward. Look for the miracles in the mundane. There's miracles everywhere. Every single day there's miracles. I tell you right now. My cousin said to me a few weeks ago, she went for a walk. She looked up to the birds. She looked around. She said, no one was looking at the birds. But she said, but do you know that Lord blessed me with the birds that day? Miracles everywhere. And then ask him, what's my purpose, Lord, in this season? What do you have me do in this season? Because it will fuel you. You had a purpose in another season and now you're in a new one and it's changed and you don't really know what to do and what it looks like. He will tell you, feed my lambs. He will give you your equivalent. And before you know it, just like Simon Peter, by his supernatural strength, you are able to do the equivalent of silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Amen. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're just going to go into a time of prayer. Some of the prayer ministers will be at the front if you do want prayer on any of the things that we've spoken about today. It may just be a stillness. But Father, Lord, you are good. You are good. Your mercy endures for all generations, Lord. Besides you, there is no other. Holy, 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 holy God, the God that gives and takes away. Father God, thank you, Jesus, for your kindness. We don't even know what kindness is outside of you. We don't know what love is outside of you. You're stable. You're constant. You never sleep nor slumber. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can build your life on you, Father God. And we just pray, Lord God, that you, as you are our living hope, you're our living hope, Lord God, and you're in us. You fill us. I pray for those people who are struggling today, Lord. I pray for those people who've had dreams and plans like Peter did, and right now their life doesn't look anything like that. I pray for those people again like Peter who had done their own version of mistakes, and now they went through that divorce. They felt like they could have done it differently. They're thinking about, oh, they're doing it all wrong. They're doing life all wrong. But just as he denied him three times, you spoke to him again three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? For there are people here today that are in desperate need of that restoration, King. They're in desperate need of that restoration. Please restore. Restore in the way that only you can, Lord. And my third prayer is for people, Lord God, who are struggling with this purpose in this season. They knew what they had to do in the last season, or maybe they've never known. And they hear this, they hear you say to Simon Peter, feed my lambs. And they're like, is that just reserved for him? But I know that you give us life because you give us purpose. And purpose fuels our hope. Whether it's parenting, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. Maybe being a good friend to a neighbor. It could be helping a family in need. It could be giving to this month of March here at Zio. Whatever the purpose is for this season, Lord God, I just pray that for those people that you'll speak to them, Lord. Speak to them. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to our hearts. I don't know. You really are our sat-nav. I don't quite know where to go without you. You're our compass. You're the word unto our feet. You're the lamp that lightens our path, Lord. And finally, Father God, we just saw that same Peter go on to do wild things for you, that your kingdom may come. I pray for Zio, Lord. I pray that in and through us, Lord God, we will do wonderful things, greater things in you, Lord. That if we can just have that moment with the King, our own breakfast with our Saviour. And we leave differently, but not just for ourselves, but for this nation, for our community, for our family, for the world, that your kingdom may come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, Lord, glorify yourself. Glorify yourself. As the gospel of Christ Jesus finishes at John chapter 1 and it goes on to the Acts of the Apostles, may we continue those acts, Lord God. May we continue those acts and then some. Thanking you, Lord, always for your grace. Thanking you, Lord, always for your wisdom. And thanking you, Lord, always for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.